right, Colossians chapter 1, let's use that on a weekend like this, in which the whole world is especially remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I think it's a good one to use to declare the Lord's glory. From verse 12, we are going to read Colossians chapter 1. And remember, you are making a declaration. Is that okay? Concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1-2, let's go. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you once again for giving us light, for giving us the love of God and Christ in our hearts, and love for one another. Lord, give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. We have gathered again this morning. Our hearts are open. I mean, we left our homes this morning because we want to hear you. We logged in, for those of us who are logging in online, this morning because we want to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, feed our hunger this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Satisfy our thirst this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We trust that you are going to do that. Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Somebody say resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
Say it again.
Resurrection power.
One more time.
Resurrection power.
Take your seats. The Lord is good. Okay, the Lord is good. Good morning. Nice to see you. Yes. It's a long weekend because it's a public holiday for Friday and for Monday. I had a habit when I was younger. I was very rebellious concerning some traditions. So when you tell me it's Christmas, I don't preach about the birth of Jesus Christ. I'll preach about the second coming. Weekend when people are celebrating, of course, I don't do ceremonies, festivals. I have reasons for that, okay? But of course, I do recognize that we do that. So, yeah, so it's Easter weekend. Just for the purpose of discussion, all right? I'm one of those that believe that Jesus didn't die on Friday and rise up on Sunday because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fulfill what he said. It has to be 3 days. And 3 nights. Friday to Sunday is 2 days and 2 nights. I've read around a bit. I've listened to people who teach. I've read quite around. And I've concluded from scriptures that he died on a Wednesday and rose up on a Saturday. And that's 3 days and 3 nights. Yes. And that Wednesday was a high Sabbath. If you read the scriptures, that's what they call high Sabbath. There's regular Sabbath every seventh day. But special festival days are high Sabbaths. Like if Passover, any day Passover falls on, it's a Sabbath. And that's a special Sabbath. It's called a high Sabbath. So there are ceremonies like that. So that was first Passover for that year. You remember that? It was Passover. So that's what I believe that. Okay? But then we do this weekend. All right? And it's a nice one. I mean, we have two powerful programs that we are involved in going on in Enugu right now, starting yesterday at TCC and as TTA. All right? The Cornerstone Church is TCC. And the Truth Assembly is TTA. I was in TTC yesterday. I'll be in TTA today. I was in TCC yesterday. Now. You say, oh, John, what did you do to him? What did you do to this man? He was laughing at me. Can you believe that? He was laughing at me that I said TTC. It's not TCC I was thinking of saying. The Lord is good. All right, so we have that going on. So it's a beautiful weekend. Like I said, if you attend all these programs, yesterday you were in one, this morning you are here, evening you will go to another one. Then tomorrow, Sunday service, you will be there too. By Sunday evening, you raise the dead. By Sunday evening, you must raise the dead. Because the faith will be too plenty. The faith will be plenty. I'm telling you. First, your own dead has already been taken care of. By the time you go out to now go and raise the dead. That's what we're talking about. All right, the Lord is good. Anyway, hold on. Just to explain why. I'm leaving our regular, we're in a series of teaching on the servants of God. So I want to leave that for today. We'll continue that next time and just talk about resurrection. Is that okay? Yes, I want to talk about resurrection. Christ's resurrection. Let's just say a word about it. Let's open our Bibles. We'll start from where now? We've read the Colossians chapter 1, so let me not reread it again. There are certain events that are very important in this life. When you see them recorded in Scripture, or you see the significance that the Bible puts on them. I keep on telling people, there's a reason why angels rejoiced at the birth of Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a reason why when one sinner repents, they will rejoice in heaven. It is not like they have nothing else to do to be looking for people who are repenting just so they can pretend to be happy. Okay? They really have a reason for joy. The birth of Jesus, there's a reason why they were very excited. Okay? Now, of all the things that happened in life, ever happened on this earth, the most important, the most significant, the most powerful, I can say that as a matter of fact, is the resurrection of Jesus, not his birth. Alright, that's very critical because, I mean, if he wasn't born, he could not have died. If he didn't die, there would be no resurrection. But where everything was going was that resurrection. Do you understand? Yeah, that was the height of it. Let's open to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Now, this was the sermon that Peter gave. Let me just see where I'll start. Isaiah speaking, of course, you know. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they had accused them of being drunk. As you know, the Holy Spirit fell upon them where they were gathered, appeared to them, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, that is, tongues that they normally wouldn't speak, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And what that portion of the Bible didn't say, let me just add it to it. You will see it's clear there, okay, if you just look closely. That not only were they speaking other tongues, they were falling under the power. Men tried to walk and they staggered. They were misbehaving. Can I use that expression? Something was out of order. People could see. You know why I'm saying so? Because the Bible says that people said they were drunk. There's no amount of alcohol I give you that you start speaking Latin. Do you get my point? I've lived in the East for many years, Eastern Nigeria. I understand a few Igbo words, most of which I learned when I was in university. I would have loved to learn more. Do you understand? If drinking alcohol could have given it to me, that's where I'm going. And I just gone down to the bar, used a few bottles, and speaking Igbo. Do you get? But it doesn't work. So they could not have accused them of being drunk because they were speaking in other tongues. Why you say men are drunk is because they were acting drunk. So actually, they were drunk with the Spirit and affected things that they did. So the people said they were drunk. And Peter said, no, these are not drunk as you suppose. Okay? That's in Acts chapter 14 now. And chapter 2 in verse 14. He said, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Because men don't drink in the morning. This was still quite early in the day. It was around 9 in the morning. Okay? It's a third hour of the day. They counted their own hour from 6 a.m. So many of us, when we are understanding and reading the scriptures, let's know. They did not count from 12 midnight. They counted from 6 a.m. So when they tell you third hour, it's 9 in the morning, not 3 a.m. Okay, so this was around 9 in the morning. That's, even if you're an alcoholic, you're not likely to have had enough time to imbibe that much. That's the point he was making. Anyway, let's just continue with what Peter was saying. He now said, what you are seeing is that which Joel prophesied. That he said, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, so he was saying, this is a fulfillment. Now, let me just say, it's a partial fulfillment of what Joel was saying. There's more to it, all right? But I won't go into that now. Now, down to verse 22. Let's just slow down here. It said, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. There was no doubt. They knew. He said, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Now, please notice verse 24, which is why I'm reading this. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Let us read that again. He said, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the pangs or agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Please notice the word impossible. That is, anyone who attains to what Christ attains to cannot be held by the power of death. Bear in mind, he said it was impossible for him to be held in his power. So he quoted some scriptures. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh will also live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And I said, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. What he was trying to say is that the man could not have been talking about himself. But because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that it was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Let me just stop reading here. Oh, no, let me add this verse 36 to it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, let me just talk, all right? Explain some things. Now, this is the first explanation anybody was given after resurrection, publicly, of course, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He himself, the Lord Jesus, had taught his disciples in the gatherings that they had for days before that point in time. Now, Peter was here explaining to us that resurrection happened, and this is the reason. Now, I'm going to put many things together, right? Let me just start talking. When God created Adam and Eve, we know the story of the fall of man. Now, one of the ways I explain that is that, of course, you know that God is never taken by surprise. Is that okay? Never taken by surprise. So the fall of Adam didn't shock him. And the fact is that Adam was not the end. Whether he fell or not, there was something else that he was going to do. The tree of life was not there for decoration. The tree of life was there to be eaten at the appropriate time. Do you get my point? He didn't put the tree of life. He put the tree of life there in the garden, in the center of, just right by, I believe, the two of them were in the center of the garden, by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what does the knowledge of good and evil mean? It means independence. That's what it means. It means you've made up your mind. You will determine what is right and what is wrong. It means I have the power. You know, I make laws. If I wake up one day and decide that it is okay to smoke Igbo, I legalize it. All right? There was a time I read from, I think it was Ravi. I read, he was preaching with it, or somebody else. When communism took over that portion of Europe, Russia and all those areas, one of the things they did was to emphasize that marriage was not necessary. Yeah. And that people could sleep around as they liked. Yeah. So they encouraged young men, young women to do anything they liked. But then, you know, quickly, within a few years, they had banned it. You know, like I said, I heard it said that when you live long enough, you will discover the word of God. Yeah. When God says, don't do something, you say, I can do anything I like. There's no problem. Just live long enough. You will know it was bad. That when God gave the commandment, he had nothing to gain personally. He only watches out for your good. He never, listen, just imagine, let's talk about people who have real, reasonable money. Bill Gates, all right? I didn't want to say Elon Musk. Do you understand? Internationally, let's talk about Aliko Dangote in Nigeria. If the man is telling you, buy this, don't buy that, and he's talking to your house on something that's not worth more than maybe 200,000 naira, you can't say it's because he wants to gain. Do you get what I'm saying? Because in your mind, it's not 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you paid Aliko Dangote for cement sales alone. The dividends he got from cement selling alone, not all his business, just Dangote's cement, was almost $800 million in 1 year. Cement alone. He has other businesses. And the refinery was not ready. When his refinery became ready, they added $20 billion to his net worth. So he cannot be telling you, buy something of $200,000 because he wants to gain. Even if that's what he was doing, you won't believe it. Do you follow my point? And so the same thing with Bill Gates. He said, buy this computer, don't buy that one. He said, you're giving personal advice. He said, don't mind him. You know he's going to gain some money. The whole computer he told you to buy is $1,500. A few years ago, again, when I followed that up, I was following that story. They paid him a loan in 1 year from Microsoft, $4 billion in dividends. You can't be looking for your $1,500. Do you get my point? And these people cannot be regarded as rich where God is. So why do you think God would ever ask for anything? Because he will gain. The best name I've seen for God, well, depending on what we are trying to talk about, all right? The name Father is good, but generally, the best name I've seen for God, is infinite. Yeah. Endless. If you want to calculate his strength, you cannot. It's endless. His wealth is endless. So he never asks for anything for his own good. No matter, you know, that I keep on fighting against one statement church Christians make. Praise is the food of God. I said, no. It's not his food. If you were hungry, he wouldn't tell you. If he told you to praise him, it's not his food. Because when he says the food of God, it's as if he went out to look for what to eat. So his commandments are because he's hungry. Let the people praise him. Let the people praise him because he's hungry. Praise is not the food of God. Praise is good for you. It's like telling my son, he's going to a distant place for school. And I say to him, don't forget my number. Do you get my point? Say, memorize it. It's because when you need something, who else will you call? Do you follow my point? It's not like that's why I should not forget his number. It's on my phone. Yeah, but I have to memorize it. He's trying to say, why? You want to be calling him. Can't he take care of himself? He knows he's going to look at his friend and say, which kind of father do you have? When he said that, I know what he had in mind. Because I may be stranded. There have been people, young men who have been stranded at airport. Suddenly, they call their father. In fact, my son has done that to me. Daddy, please, I'm somewhere now. But I just checked, I don't have any money. I need to leave here now. Please, can you send me? In Enugu, not even a long journey. He says, so what is the problem? Can you just transfer some money to me? Just so I can take a bus or enter taxi. So I sent money to him. He called me back. I said, a bus, not a plane. Where I'm going is that. That's why he needs to remember my number. That's how God. So when he says you should praise God, it is never because of what you get. What will he get? What can you give? What do you have? There's nothing you have. To be honest, you don't have the capacity. Have you given to yourself? You have not even taken care of your own troubles. When you are going out in the morning, you are watching your back. To cross the road, you look left, look right, and so that a car won't jam you. He cannot be jammed. Do you follow my point? So when he's giving instructions, remember, he has nothing to gain. Okay, let me withdraw that word. He has nothing to gain. The only thing he gains is the joy of seeing you blessed. Do you understand? If I may use that word gain, if you may use the word gain, there's nothing that the Lord enjoys more, that one I know for sure, than seeing his children blessed. That's why angels will rejoice when a sinner repents. Do you understand? Yeah, that's why. They know the way the Lord feels about it. So his joy, his gladness all the time is you being blessed. So if we say praise God, praising God is good for you. And the reason is because it helps you not to forget. Do you understand? I said recently that I had some issues, some needs needed to be met, you know, personal issue, family issue. So I went to pray, and I remember one scripture. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. So I went to pray. Because you see, revelation helps you to pray. Yes, sir. No, you just, every day you wake up, pray, Father God, help me know you. Help me see you clearly. Help me know you. Help me see you clearly. When you see God clearly, you pray with more faith. When Moses was going to pray, God said, I'm not going with you again. He said, Lord, let me see you. God now went, let me just use the expression. The Lord now made a mistake of saying to Moses what he was. He said, I'm the Lord God. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and what?
abundant in loving kindness or in mercy and truth. When he finished, he said, I've caught you. That's what Moses said. Hey, you don't want to go, but I've caught you. I will not go because these are a stubborn people, but you are abundant in loving kindness and truth. You are merciful. So he said, Lord, you will now go with us. The Lord could not say no because the faith was too big. The faith has been provoked by the Lord himself. If he had known, he would have said, I'm God, God of justice. The God that enforces his own rules. Moses would say, all of you, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. There's nothing I can do. Because now he said, who broke the rule? To this side. Those of you that did not, to this side. Those who broke the rule, bye-bye. See you later. But the Lord went and revealed to him that he's abundant in mercy. So Moses said, you will go with us. So that's what praise does. Praise emphasizes who God is. It prints it on your mind. So when you sing songs like Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. The Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Sing that song until it prints on your heart. Then let a need now come up tomorrow. You will sing for the need. You will sing for the need. You look at the need. Let me sing for you. When you finish singing for the need, it will run away. You've exalted the name of the Lord above the trouble. That's what praise does. Praise is not, look, stop telling praise is the food of God. Who's hungry here? You know, sometimes we look at God as if he has our problems. You know, our greatest need is food. There's nothing we need more than food. Food. Men love food. Human beings, we love it. Actually, we need it. So we start thinking that that's how God is. So we want to emphasize something to others, to ourselves, on how important it is. We say, God needs to eat. Brethren, stop that nonsense. He's not hungry. Anytime you praise him, you get fed. Do you understand my point? If you praise God, you are the one that will eat, not God. How did I get into that? They are talking about the trees in the garden, right? Yeah. So, when God planted the trees there, don't eat this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was for their good. Because what the knowledge of good and evil does is making you independent of God. And it's not good for you. My Sparrow used to teach us those days that anything created must remain attached to it from the place it was made in order for it to live. So if you become independent of God, you are dying. Let me give you one revelation. Write it down in your heart. You know, one day I was thinking, after thinking what I've just explained now, that God is not getting that, and now reading Revelation, people will cast down their crowns and they will shout, holy, holy. I say, and you say God doesn't need food. Do you get what I'm saying? It looks like they are worshiping. The myriads, they worship. Holy Spirit, help me understand. Thank you, cool down. Listen to your own message complete. If they do not worship, they will expire. Do you follow my point? They are tapping life. That's it. They are tapping life. They've gone to where the Lord is. Each time they say, holy. Holiness enters them. Is God changing because of somebody? Say, when we call him holy, he becomes holier than before. That means he's not holy right now. When you bow down and shout holy, it enters you. See, let me give you this practical with me. If I have things to do, all right? A lot of time, every day, you have things to do. So, you wake up in the morning. Let's say I'm going to preach. You could take time to pray, or you could take time to iron. I used to do one funny thing. You iron first. You know why? They could be power failure. You do this one first. then you quick, you know, let me do the other things. I'll do this one later. I realized that the Holy Spirit doesn't like it. I've told the story about my home when my children were small. My wife used to do something. My wife is a very, now this is not praise. I know her head will swear where she is, but it's fact. She's a very dutiful mother. Where's that big boy? From him down to where's parents to? Every single one of them. None of them goes back to school without doing the assignment. I see parents now, children will come to school, assignment undone. Not under my wife's watch. In fact, the school they used to attend, the principal knew her. Anytime she said, I say, hey, oh God, what have we done? Because if the teacher gives the wrong example to teach, like mathematics, she's teaching this school. Excuse me, teacher. The example you use is the one in textbook. Why? Wow. Oh, no, she'll go. They knew her there. The principal told her, I want to say, mother, anytime I see you, my heart, they caught. They was trying to say, my children should draw this. She went down to the teacher. Wait, are you teaching civic education or art? Because they didn't know which project to give them to do. So they should, and they do human rights. They should draw human body. So you have to ask the teacher. Yeah. Now, what is the relationship between human rights and the drawing of a human being? No, she, look, that's how my wife is. That school, they knew her. PTA meeting, she know they miss. She will not miss it. So, you can imagine that number of children. 11 p.m., she's sitting down there. They are doing homework, one by one. Which one do you have English? Let me see it. They will sit down. Everybody, God bless people with different things. I don't have that patience. I cannot teach people that are less than teenage. I can't. And good enough, I can do when it was even small. One day I said, come, let me help you do your own work. He said, no. Yeah. Ah. Which kind of provoke be this one? Come now, let me help you. Now, no, mommy will help me. Then why are you so emphatic on mommy helping you? He said, when I finish, you'll give me something. For you? Forget you, my God. I finish that. Good boy. Who good boy help? I mean, who good boy help? Welcome on, leaders. Now, all of them just tell you a story. So usually, they will continue sometimes early in the morning. When they are dressed for school, they continue to finish what. Then she will now pack them in the car, taking them off to school. And they have not said the morning prayer. So what do we used to do a lot of times? We will pray in the car. So she's driving. Where are you? Say this. Is this a... So one day I called her, I said, so why can't they dress in the car? Why can't they eat in the car? Why can't they finish the homework in the car? Why is it that prayer is what they will say in the car? What are we saying to God? What are we saying to him? That is not important, right? I said, sweetheart, no. Rearrange the priority. Once they wake up in the morning, have a bath, that will get you awake. Then go and pray. Then rush the rest. Finish your homework in the car. Finish tucking your shirt, if anything is, if it's possible, inside the car. Finish the other things inside the car. Don't leave the source of life as if it's not important. That's where I'm going. I personally have learned it. I will pray and study and prepare and think and meditate before, if you like, take delight. And if you do take, don't, see, squeeze shirt and good message. Good shirt, bad message. Which one is better? That's what, I told you, if you live long enough, you discover the word of God. I found that thing out from experience. That it's more important you contact God than the other thing. It's more important. When you come and touch the Lord, I have found that time tends to expand. Yeah. You have five things to do. One of them is to study the scriptures and pray. Is that okay? Then so because one involves power supply, the other one is urgent, and God is not watching, you know, it's not like hurry, pray. You know, he's there. So every other thing is hurry. Get to work before 8 o'clock. I iron your clothes before there's power failure. You know, stuff like that. So we unconsciously relegate the other one to the end. So the time is not enough. So you know what I found out? This is from experience. If you just calm your head down and decide to pray, decide to study,
Decide to meditate. Decide to give thanks. There are five things, okay? Praying and meditating is one of them. You decide to do that first. You will be amazed how much time there is to do the other four. But if you decide to do the other four first, that's when you know, say, wahala day. You know, at the end of the day, there's just no time. There was no time. You know, all the things I had to do today, I could only do two of them. The time will go away, you'll be wondering why. So when the people, no, what I'm saying is real. When the people come to worship, that is where you know, the word life, I pray you understand. Life does not mean that I'm just alive and breathing. The best word for it is to thrive. Thrive, yeah. Thriving is, in practical application, it's better to use the word thriving than living. Thriving is better. You know, the day it hit me, I still remember where I was that day. My car was not air-conditioned. It was some car I used to drive. It was a hot sun, so I could feel the heat. I was at a junction where the car was at stand. You know, if we were moving, the breeze will keep you cool. So this one, I could feel the heat. And it was a hot day, tropical Enugu, you know, sun. It was shining hot. I was feeling really hot and uncomfortable, you know. Then I looked to my right, and there was a tree. And the tree was looking happy. The hotter the sun, the more the leaves shone green. They were glistening. And like, son, you won't even, a tree, won't you even go under a shade? The tree said, I'm the shade. Now, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, because I'm a Bible teacher, instantly I went and wrote a sermon. Because it dawned on me that the tree has no problem as long as it's alive. If you were to cut off the roots, you know that sun is hot. Do you get it? If you were to cut off the root, you will know that sun is hot. But it has roots. It's just soaking life from the ground. So the temptation of life, as Jesus called it, the trials, the temptations of life happens to be for it a source of photosynthesis, power for production. See, because it has life, you know this, the tree cannot survive without the sun. And Jesus said that the ones that don't have root, when the sun comes up, they wither. And he said that is persecution as a result of the word. So basically, the trials of life, the persecutions of life, they are the energy source for photosynthesis. If, there's an if. There's a big if. What is the if? If you're rightly planted and tapping life. So that's why I realized that, oh, that tree was thriving. Not just like it's not dead. So the problems of life was not a big deal to it. In fact, it made it greener. Do you get my point? So life, that's what I'm trying to say. When you touch God, life flows. So the challenges, the too many things to do in one day, suddenly become, let's say, a trigger for tapping into divine wisdom. There's wisdom you wouldn't have except your day was too overloaded. Every challenge in life has a wisdom that is supposed to ignite. Every challenge in life has a particular wisdom which is in God that it's supposed to ignite. Wisdom would not, see, let me tell you, Solomon, why did he call Solomon very wise? Because he prayed for wisdom. Do you understand? Why did he pray for wisdom? The only one reason. What's the reason? No, there's no catch to it. I mean, like, it's simple. You can easily work it out. Okay, why did he become very wise? He prayed for wisdom. Why did he pray for wisdom? No. Why? Why did he pray for wisdom? We know what he wanted to do with it. What was it that provoked him? He was too small. If that guy was 30 years old, he wouldn't say that prayer. If he had called him to be king when he was 45, he would think he had experience. He's been in PDP. He did come to APC. He was a legislator. Do you get my point? He has Wiki's number.
The last time Vladimir Putin was in Egypt, maybe he was there. He was at the wedding of Donald Trump's daughter. You're not making him a king. Pray for what now? The best thing he will do as a good person is to read the Bible. But pray for wisdom. Lie. Why? It's not necessary. He's too wise. The only reason that young man prayed for wisdom was he was too small. When they make you king, look, think about Nigeria right now. They just call you. How old are you? 17. Come and be president. Let me give a practical example. How many people remember Dora Akunyele? Do you remember her? She said when somebody called her and said, look, I've nominated you to have NAFDAC. She said she did not know the full meaning of NAFDAC. She couldn't give, I heard her be interviewed on TV. Say, I couldn't tell you what NAFDAC meant. I'm supposed to head NAFDAC. What is NAFDAC? She had an idea, but she could not tell you the full meaning of NAFDAC. Well, for those who are listening to this, is the NAFDAC means what? National. Somebody I say association. It's not association, it's agency. You see what I'm saying? See the problems we have in Nigeria. It's Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control. That's NAFDAC, okay? She said she did not know. Now, the woman was a Catholic. So one day, they invited her for an interview. So they said, look, go to Asorok. Yes, we'll be interviewed. So Obasanjo is his own way of doing things. Just say, okay, come, we are going to eat. Let her come for dinner. So he went to eat. She sat down to eat with the family. So they were eating. It's okay. If I approve your appointment as DG of NAFDAC, what are you planning to do? She spoke. The man used to do things like that. That's how he appointed the VC of UN at that time too. Very informal. Just come, sit down. Oh, yeah, they serve you food while you are eating. The man is asking you questions. So he was satisfied with her. Let her go, approved. When they called and said, you are now the DG of NAFDAC, the woman said she panicked. That's where I'm going. She was a Catholic. She ran to church. Nobody was there. She went and knelt down at the altar. God help me. She said it. That she, it was not the job she personally lobbied for. So when they gave it to her, she said she panicked. She said, I didn't even know the full meaning of NAFDAC. She ran to a Catholic church, knelt down there, and begged, God, help. We all know God helped her.
Yes.
We all know God helped her. I pray more of us will know how to pray to God. God helped her. Most Nigerians did not know NAFDAC existed. And many people think it has closed now that she's dead. No, really. Many people think that it has closed. They are still there. But that woman shook Nigeria, heading NAFDAC. Shook this country from the roots. At the end of the day, Transparency International gave an award. I've forgotten something of the year. Transparency International. They awarded her something of the year. She was their person of the year. Where I'm going? Because she prayed. What did I say? Because she prayed. Why did she pray? She felt inadequate. Some of us have PhD. She had PhD too. She was a university lecturer. Remember that? Uh-huh. But she was promoted to professor when she was this thing. So I'm not saying she didn't have PhD. I'm going to say that some of us, okay, we have too much confidence in our PhD. You do like one foolish Nigerian musician. When they gave him a Grammy, he said, I deserved it. I said, don't worry. The man who gave it to you, Baba God, is waiting in front. You will see more things you deserve. See, if I deserve it, that is English you are speaking. There are other things you deserve waiting in front. Let one of them, may it not be premature death. Should be a musician or problem of the throat. I can't talk. God said, you deserved it too. And he will show you all the rukuruku, all the evil that you did. You deserve it. Because we are doing what I deserve now, Abi. Hey, you deserve it. Many of us, that's the reason why God can't help. We are too strong. We deserve it. Oh, we deserve it. We deserve it. Oh, I can handle that. Don't worry. The idea of kneeling down to pray. Many times God has shown me personally, because these things are human, you know. If Paul had the risk of pride because of revelation,
why wouldn't I have a risk of pride because of every other thing? Even revelation that God gives triggers pride. Small aside, let me drop it for you. Go and write for yourself. What is pride in my life? With prayer. Because like last week I was... asked Pastor Banky that we're recording. When I said, pride means I know how to do it. That's pride. I can do it. It's pride. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. That is humility. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Back to what we're saying. Why did Solomon pray? It's simply because he was too young. So challenges in life, listen to this, people of God, they are supposed to make you pray. There's no trouble a Christian has that is not designed to make you pray. There are different kinds of prayer. Now, just by the way, let me market our new product. From 5 a.m., right? Yeah. We're going to start dropping a teaching on Teach Us to Pray. That's the name of the series. So if you follow us on the WhatsApp channel, you have seen it, Teach Us to Pray. Please follow it. All right? That's the product I'm marketing. What you just need to do is subscribe to podcast. The podcast is called Pastor Banky in 10. Is that okay? From tomorrow, for the next 77 days, one new message will drop every day. It's short. It's 10 minutes. Now, why I'm marketing at this point is that it's on prayer. Teach us to pray. So that's the product I'm marketing. All right. I want you to learn how to pray. And the last portion of it is prayer responsibilities. So how to handle prayer. Just follow us daily. 77 days. That's what we're going to do. Every day, one drops. Every day, one drops. Is that okay? So back to what I was saying. So the challenges in the life of a Christian, they are designed to make you pray. If you fall sick, go and pray. You know, James said it to us. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Is anyone disappointed? Let him pray. Is anyone having money problems? Let him pray. Whatever it is that's a challenge in the life of a believer, it's meant to trigger faith. It is meant to trigger faith. It's meant to remind you of the Lord. The tendency in life is to forget the Lord. Forgetting God is a tendency. See, it's not like you are bad. It's that you are human. Human beings always tend towards forgetting. That's why God kept on, it's all over the scriptures, telling you, remember. Remember. Do you know why he gave them Passover? Every year. One major reason. So they will remember how they left Egypt. Because if you don't remember how you left Egypt, you will get into other troubles. If you don't remember how you left Egypt, you will fall back. You'll be in Egypt. You'll be on Pharaoh's throne before you know what's going on. One of the things the Lord did in the old covenant, all right, was to give them laws, well, let's say ordinances, designed to help them remember. Human beings forget. God doesn't give a commandment except the opposite is natural. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. The Lord does not give a commandment except that the opposite is the natural thing. Somebody says, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that using King James English now, power to get wealth. You know what it means? It means that the natural tendency is to forget after you have been blessed, after you have been, you know, enriched, after your bank account, all right, your accounts have become swollen, after all the troubles of your life may have gone away, the natural tendency is to forget. We talked here a few days ago, I can't remember which of the days now. Remember the story of Asa? Asa had forgotten. Asa had prospered. He had been established as king. He had been on the throne for 30-something years. So he forgot. He forgot. So God said, let's remind him. He didn't mean bad. So God, now listen to what I want to say. Many people don't like it when they say faith. God doesn't mean anything. Listen, leave that in. The fact is that God commanded trouble. Fuasa. He told Baasha, why don't you go and attack Judah? That's how Baasha packed his load and went and attacked Judah. God had one sole purpose in all of that. That Asa will be, you know, awakened again to his faith. So that Asa will remember. He will remember that the Ethiopians and the Lubim, they were an immense army. But because he cried to the Lord gave him victory over them. That's what the Lord wanted. But he didn't. And he entered into worse trouble. Please, Christians, don't ever forget it. See, eh? Challenges are a blessing. I don't know why I'm sitting on this again. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. See, at the end of this life, all right, you know one day, if Jesus doesn't come back, you will discard this body. Who's aware of that? Even if he comes back, you will still discard this body. You will get into the resurrection body. There's a new body that is coming. But let's leave that body for a moment. This one is temporal. So you acquire like 10 hectares of land, which you are building choice real estate. And you are the owner. You're not selling it to. You are renting them out high price. You're very rich. You know when you die? Do you know when you die? You will not take any of this away with you. None. One man even said something. I don't know whether it's true or not. He said when you get to heaven, you'll even forget those things. You won't remember. I used to have a house on the earth. Not as if like, ah, my house was nice. You won't even remember. Look. Some of you, some women, they get gold. No gold. One day, there's one woman we used to know does this in church. I used to say, that woman is the temple of Solomon. When she finishes dressing, everything. And for your information, it's not bad, though. I'm not saying it's bad. Do you get my point? If you wear long earrings, it's pure gold. The Lord has blessed you. Amen? And you are showing it. It's not a bad thing. Man, do you know what? And you die. If you wear any of the rings, if you bury your body with any of those rings, grave robbers will rob your grave one day. It's when is that the issue. It's not if. Unless you didn't see it. If that's infinite, that's where they buried you. Don't no worry. When they walk past viewing the corpse, they look. Ah. They will go and walk past again. They'll come back. See the earring. Thief one will tell thief two. No, not be that one, be that. Not that one, though. They'll keep on walking. Third time they come again, check. How many necklaces are there? $200,000. Now they hang for neck to bury this person. No trouble. They will be walking around. They won't rob your grave the first year because eyes are still there. No, they will come the first year because some other thieves may come before them. The point I'm making is that you're not carrying anything. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you know one thing you will carry? Fact. Your faith will go with you. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's going with you. It's going with you. The level of your faith is going with you. It is going. It's not staying on the earth. It's going with you. It's going with you. That faith, that's what the Bible describes it as being more precious than gold. Gold that does what? Perishes. What does that tell you? The faith that does not perish. See, on this earth, I've heard preachers say before, how can a Christian not have anything to show for his Christianity? Once you can show it, it's not really important. If it's my car, it's what I'm showing for my Christianity. If it's the house I'm driving. Elder John, I'm watching you. You are the one cutting this way. You are looking for how to laugh at me this morning. If it's the house I live in, I want to show. That's not the show of Christianity. It's not the show of Christianity. Do you know it's more important to God? Now listen to what I want to say carefully. Somebody has a house, beautiful. Look, I like a nice house. I'm not saying it's bad. All right? And he's happy. He's joyful. If that one comes and says, see my house. My God has been good. And he brags and testifies. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But the one that's even more beautiful is one that doesn't have and is as joyful as that one.
God takes more pride in that one. Now, we think that the Lord is more, you know, like what I can do for him. God says what I can do in him is more important to me than what I can do for him. I like the way T.J. Jakes said it once. In fact, I think it was in church, one of their conferences. Pastor Paul happened to be there that day. He called him out. He called another pastor out, two of them. He turned to Pastor Paul. He said, look at this man. Now, he was trying to make a point. So he told the other pastor, remove your jacket. That one remove it. He said, turn it inside out. Bend over like you're suffering, like if you're shivering. Now, he now pointed to one of them, well-dressed. He said, look at this one. He's a blessed man. Everything is going well in his life. Look at his wife. Look at his children. Look at his business. He's joyful. He said, that is a conqueror. Of course, what do we do in church? Oh, then he turned to the other man. He said, nothing is working for this man. He said, look at him. There's trouble at home. Business has trouble. He made the man remove his jacket and turn it inside out. And they look as if he's suffering. He said, if this one can rejoice, he's more than a conqueror. Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
If you are rejoicing when everything is working well, it makes sense. Perfect sense. He said, but if this one can rejoice, now let me add my own words, with the same level of joy that you have, despite the fact that the fig tree does not blossom, and there's no fruit in the vine, he said, then he is what? More than a conqueror. God is more interested in what he does inside somebody than what he does for somebody. See, if because God has blessed you, like David said, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. You now say, he will shake you. He will. He will. See, let me tell you, do whatever you have to do to let the Lord know you have not forgotten. Do whatever you have to do to make sure you do not forget. I'll give you an example. You're a businessman. You're prosperous. You have meetings. You can just do little things like you don't miss church for anything. It's not a big thing, it looks like. But no, I'm not missing church. They fix the meeting by, this man is coming, the Chinese are coming. He said, I hope they're not coming on Sunday. He said, you know, he said, sorry, I'm not meeting them. Unless they will come to my house in the evening, I'll be free from 4 o'clock. And in your mind, I am going to church. I will not cancel church for you. And do you know what? You have a lot of money. In fact, you go to a kind of church that you can have your pastor repeat the service because of you. But you've just told yourself, I will not miss this service if I'm in town. Unless I'm not in town. And as much as possible, I'll make sure I'm around. And wherever I am, I will look for a church. It has just become for you like a ritual. You know, I like rituals. There are different kinds of rituals, yes. Let me give another one. This one is commanded, actually, even though not directly, but by following the example of the Lord, you can see it. Wherever you are, no matter who you are eating with, bow your head and pray before you eat. It's important. And I don't mean, no. It's, Father, I want to thank you for this. In fact, the more they hear, yeah, are you getting my point?
Yes.
The more they don't like it, the longer the prayer. If it's the rest of us eating with you, you can just say, Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. But assuming that you're very rich, you know, those kind of people that get paid like $200 million a year in dividends. And then the Chinese come, the Europeans come. You know, Europeans hate prayer more than any other thing. When they come, time to eat, pause. Father, I want to thank you for this food. Thank you for the sun, the moon, whatever the moon has to do with the food, I don't know what. Add it to it. Lord, we thank you for the sun, the moon, the water, the farmer. Oh, Father, God, you are good. And for sending your son, Jesus Christ. We receive this food today with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Let me be looking at you like this. And you say, they won't say amen for you. You will say the amen. You may consume. And then you eat your food. It's a ritual. Now, if not, it's your family. Just say, Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. But you must do it. If you're on your own, you can just say it in your heart. You bow your head. But you must do it. It's a ritual. It's important because you must not be seen to have forgotten. See, I typically don't pray before I travel. I mean, not because I hate praying. No. It's just that I'm not afraid of the road. There's prayer or fear. Okay? So unless you want to provoke extra fear, I just enter my car and I start driving. And I trust the Lord that we started the day with. The driving is part of the day. Is that okay? All right. But there are times you park the car. Say, Lord, this car is good. It's a nice car. I'm a very good driver, Lord. You made me a good driver. I've been driving for the last 20 years. You can say 30 years. Lord, I've never had an accident. But today, let me pray. Lest I think is the quality of the car. Lest my heart begins to think is my skill in driving. So you park the car, bow your head. Father, I want to thank you for this road. Thank you for this car. Thank you for the fuel. Thank you for skill. You just take time out, just so you don't forget, because you're not just hyping, no. It's the truth you're telling. The road is a gift of God. The car is a gift. Look. I know a man, he was driving. While driving, he died. On high speed, highway, traveling. And while driving, he died. So, see. Hey, oh my God. You can have a stroke while driving. He didn't even have a stroke. It's possible. So, what I'm saying, like, you deliberately bow your head and thank God. People have died because policeman is chasing thief. You know that? They are not the thief. Oh. They are not the police. Oh. The police is chasing a real criminal. And they were shooting at each other. They happened to be driving by. They saw they call stray bullets. Oh, stray bullets. We have seen stray bullets do things. Nobody's responsible. That is why occasionally you will just literally stop. Put your head down. And say, Lord, let me just spend 5 minutes. Thank you for the bridge. Thank you for I passed the bridge. You will even remind the Lord of bad things. You know the tanker that exploded the other day? Down here near Enugu. You know, it took a whole family. They were going or coming from a barrier inside their vehicle. Boom! Whatever you have to do, make sure you don't forget and you don't seem to have forgotten. There are times you just give money out just to show that money is not the reward thing you are working for. You know, I keep telling the story of my friend. Very interesting story. He went and prayed. Say, Lord, this January, is it the January? No, this next month, sir, when they pay salaries, I will give everything out as an offering to you. It's why I found out that he did that. And I keep on telling you women, there's a reason why one guy is called husband and one girl is called wife. Anybody tell you that two of you are equal, he doesn't know what he's saying. Do you hear what I said? If he talks, I can talk. That's why you won't be blessed. You know, I said one day, my wife said, say sorry. When I saw she was serious about it, I said, okay, I will do no such thing because you have to be blessed. It doesn't say I can't apologize. But you can't demand from your boss to apologize. How many of you can go to the office and tell your boss, apologize? You can tell your husband, but you can't tell your boss. Who is more important and more senior in your life? And you want to tell your husband what you can't tell your guy at work. Oh, girl, you need screws. You need to see mechanic. You need to rearrange your system. What was I saying when I got there? Yeah, my friend's story, yeah. She went and told the husband, how can you do such a thing? Okay, the guy said, I have given the Lord the whole thing. The guy said, I lie. What if me, I gave the Lord the whole thing? What will now eat? See, there are statements you make, it's as if you don't believe in God. The assessments you make, it's as if you don't believe in God. How can you open your mouth and tell the husband, what if I did the same thing? What will we eat? Is this the food that's more important? And like I keep saying, just in case you do not know, if you made that decision, the man has 24 hours to either annul it or confirm it. He can confirm it by default, by saying nothing. It's confirmed. So if you go there and say, my husband, I went to church, I pledged my car to God. The guy can call God. Dear Lord, that car, she's not giving it. That's it. You're free. Life has order. Life has order. My friend's wife overruled him. And he foolishly accepted. When salaries came, she did like this. And he told me, you see, if a man does not provide for his household, I said, you did not know that when you were making this pledge. That's the area where I'm not a good friend. Not because I'm being wicked. I don't know how to handle stuff. He was telling me about something that he said, why didn't you tell your friend? I said, he has made up his mind. He said, no, but sir, maybe you can make him go and rethink. My wife knows how to do that. Because my friend, he was talking that day, I kept quiet. Meanwhile, in my heart, I thought he was being foolish. I kept quiet. I shouldn't have kept quiet. It was not right. I should have just told him, oh boy, you're either the man or you are not. Make up your mind. I should have told him. But that's not why I'm telling the story. It's the consequence. You know that money? God collected every dime back. Every dime. That money that he took from God, he collected it. Ah! God has taken things from me many times. And I looked at Baba. In fact, sometimes some things miss. I was forced. I said, which angel took it? Before I go, because I don't want to waste my time. If you guys took it, let me know. Because when angels take your tea, you don't go find them. Angels, they collect. As they bring. Sometimes, in fact, this man prays for money. God will go to this man and collect. You say your money missed. That's your problem. You just see, the other woman will just wake up in the morning. Father, thank you. You just see one envelope. God will wipe off the memory of when you visited. Two of you will not remember that you visited him. And the envelope fell out of your pocket, just as you're coming from an important job. They just gave you the money, 100K cash, you put on here. Feeling, oh, gagabugoshalawa. Let me just stop to greet this guy on the road. Just stop. You just see that. As you see that, one angel will remove it, drop it behind the chair. So that guy will need the money in the next 3 weeks. He will not, God said, I forbid you from remembering who sat there. If you remember now, you're a good man, you go and return it. Two of you will forget. See, I'm telling you, God does it. He does it. What I've told you, he does it. If you see money, God doesn't print money. As a rule, he doesn't print money. The reason is because it will be counterfeit. He doesn't like counterfeit things. So what he does, he takes. And the only one he takes from people. He can take from unbelievers, can take from believers, and he gives to the person that he wants to bless. The Lord went to my friend's house and collected a whole month's salary. God said, don't worry, I handle your wife. I will handle your wife. See, you cannot handle her. I will handle her. And if two of you don't repent, I take it fourfold. I will take it fourfold. So better quickly repent. Then we'll stop at one. And peradventure, I may even multiply it back to you later, which I would have done. My girl overruled the husband. God overruled both of them. How did the Lord collect his money? Use a mechanic and use a doctor. Yeah, that's what he did. Now, how did I know? He came and told me by himself. The same way he was gisting me of what happened. Again, I didn't know this one day. I would have said, I hope you have repented because don't think that's finished though. The bad God is going to collect interest. Don't take his money. I knew not. Did Jesus not say it? Should I have kept my money in the bank so that when I come? The Lord is good. Whatever you need to do, make sure you don't forget. That's why I told that story. There are times you just do things like that. Your whole salary comes. You give out the whole thing. A friend will not know why suddenly you are that generous. Just say, my children are going to school. Next week is when we'll pay school fees. Just say, I hope you have enough money. Say, my brother, amen. It is well. See, when Christians talk like that, it's not faith, it's worry. Say, what do you mean as well? My brother, let me be honest with you. The money I was expecting has refused to come. Give me your account number. The guy is looking at you. Whoom! You wire your whole month's salary. Ah, he said, oh boy, what is going on here? He said, did you not say you are paying school fees next week? He said, I did. The Lord just paid it for you. He said, no, but it's more up to this amount. The Lord said, to buy books. He will not know what you are doing. And you shouldn't tell him. Let him go home and go and testify. He always like, ah, Lord, thank you. I don't want to forget. There are rituals, like I said earlier, you perform. Because you don't want to forget. I gave you the most important one. Thanksgiving before you eat. A crucial ritual. The other things you do, you just don't want to forget. There are times, the advantages you have, you don't want to forget. Your uncle is a very powerful person. He's a board member in NNPC. He's like this, like that. You could call him. He said, this one, Lord, I will not call. I don't want to forget. Someone said, you may not get a job. I know. People think that when you do something, you will not get what you want. That's manipulation. We can't manipulate the Lord. He still has the final say. Who has the final say? That's it. He still has a final say. That song is not just, you know, we like to trick you. You have the final say, it's in my favor. Get out. There are times he has a final say, which says, I am not giving you. People think that he never says no. That's the case of making me laugh. You see, if you have that, he never says no. You will go with this arrogant attitude. Go with a supplicatory attitude, knowing that he has the final say. Is it your Bible? Of course. Moses went to him. He said, Moses, you are not entering the promised land. Moses said, he's merciful, he's kind, he's everything. He came back. Thought I now gave me a commandment. Don't bring up the matter again. That's my final say. Brethren, it's painful. But that was his final say. Paul, the same thing. The thorn in the flesh. First time. Second time. Third time. I say, that's my final say. I'm not removing it. You can handle it easily anyway. It's a matter of pride. If you tackle the pride, it will never flare up. Don't worry about it. As for your ministry, my grace is perfected in your weakness. So when I say that, I won't call the person. It's not a trick. Are you getting my point? It is not a trick for getting what you want. It's a surrender. I'm saying to God, even if I don't get this, you will still bless me. According to your promise. You don't have to go this way. It's your promise that matters. You know how you are going to handle your word. You know how you are going to fulfill it. If you choose not to use this person, and don't be angry. Please, I keep on saying this to Christians. It's very important. Don't go around angry with people because they did not do something. Do all you have to do to forget someone. You know, like what I mean is that it didn't help you. Forget it. They're like, so forget it. See, happily forget it. In fact, it gets to a point, you have to be glad he did not. Yeah. You have to be glad. Look, it's not gladness as in, I don't like manipulative faith. You know what I call manipulative faith? Yeah, you're trying to manipulate God. And the Bible says we should be glad, though. Father God, we are glad. If I catch that man, if I catch him, Father God, we are glad. Yeah. Deep inside, you're not glad. You're just being, it's what I call manipulative faith. You rejoice manipulatively. They say, if I rejoice, God will do something. Really rejoice. Truly rejoice. The man didn't help. Lord, I want to thank you. Because they will have told that, look, all you need to do is see him. If that man makes a call, it's done. And you get there, the man listens to you. He says, sorry, I can't call. I will call, and he didn't. Second day, he didn't. You know, he had only 3 days before they started announcing the appointments. The third day passes, whether he forgot to, or he doesn't want you to have. You know, there are people that don't want you to have it. They exist. So I'm not saying that everybody is nice. So I can't, or maybe even he's even angry with you. Whatever be the reason why he refused to help, still be happy. If you nurse one bit of anger, if you nurse one bit of animosity, if you nurse one bit of regret, you have taken yourself out of God's hands and you have put yourself into man's hands. A sign, all right, that you really believe in God is that you can't hold anybody responsible. Ah, you didn't get that job? No. What happened? You know, my uncle, now that's how he does. He doesn't help people. Your life for the next appointment is in a human being's hands again. You didn't get that job? No. What happened? The Lord didn't see fit. Ah, but the uncle, didn't he help you? No. The Lord didn't. I mean, the Lord, you just keep dropping the Lord. The Lord didn't move him. Maybe he tried, but you know, it's not everything human beings can do. It is not everything. There are people you think have the power. God has said they can't do this one. What am I doing? Look, God has the power to bring people out of prison. He so has the power. Look, God can bring anybody out of anywhere. I tell the story once in a while of this man, Jim Baker. They gave him 30-something years imprisonment. I said, go and cool your heel. This one you are preaching is not the gospel. Small aside. If you're a preacher, preach the gospel. That means you hear? You hear what I said? Look. I'm looking for them. Where are the pastors in the house? If you're a preacher, preach the gospel. Never, look. Never motivate anybody. Have you heard it before that, you know, people are already beating outside? You come to church for encouragement. It's a lie. I used to believe it, but I don't believe it anymore. Encourage when they come to church. Let me tell you the truth. I warn you, that's part of it. If you need encouragement, if God says, you will get encouragement. If it is warning you need, you will get warning. If it's prophecy of when you will die, I will give it to you. God said, if I don't, you will not hold me responsible. So please, I don't owe you encouragement. You know, if you have been beaten outside because you have iniquity, come here, I add to it. I know what I'm telling you. If you're a preacher, preach the gospel. Don't preach any of that thing. Don't be a motivational speaker. Perspire to acquire desire that you admire. Do not retire you, but refire. Look, other one that rhymes. It's not... If you're a preacher, what do I say? Don't do any other thing. The word of God is alive. He knows how to encourage those who need encouragement. He knows how to discourage those who are doing bad things. You get my point? You should be discouraged if what you are doing is not good. If your money is going to CBX, I should discourage you. Small, please, let me just kiss. Do you know, when I heard that collapse, I said people know the hear word. 1.3 trillion naira. Somebody said they will double your money. Is it 1 month or 3 months? And you believe you deserve to have your money taken. They now say that they are trading in dollars. And they now lie to you that they will be trading with the money and giving you 100% every month. And you believe. I know you don't believe. Let's be honest. I know you don't believe. You're a thief. You didn't hear what I said? Let me go back again. You don't believe them. You wanted to steal. But they are sharper than you. They are the senior thieves. They are the senior thief. You are a junior thief. You are a practicing thief. So you came to steal from them and they stole from you. Because no rational human being thinks there's any business that can double your money every month. They know. There's nobody that does not know. Because everybody knows that if it was really possible, they will go to the bank, borrow that money, trade for themselves, and eat everything. You know, those of you that there one woman there crying on social media. Yes, what are you crying about? That the thief stole from a thief? What are you crying about? We're talking about this one now. Start on that one next week. Till we join. Till we join. Even though they hear what? Somebody now, I didn't bother to watch most of the analysis. Somebody now calling on pastors who promoted it. Oh, yeah. Pastors promoted it. I don't feel sorry for anybody. In case you lost your money, I'm not feeling sorry for you. If you believe EFC that they'll get your money back, you are not that, you see, your foolishness has not ended. It hasn't ended. You are still waiting. Now, one man asked the owner of EFC or the spokesman, he said, well, you have not gotten back the money from MMM. He said, it takes time. I laughed. I said, is anybody waiting for it? He said, okay, they have been monitoring, they'll get their money back. Okay. I will not say more than that. I won't say more than that. I'm not going to say more than that because to be like, this man is wicked. When I tell people the truth, why is it that people do? Anyway, the truth does not pay. Anyway, back to what I was saying. If you're a preacher, what did I say? Preach the gospel. Anybody that hears you must love God more and love the word less. If somebody finishes hearing you, he's so motivated to go and make money. You're a fake pastor. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If somebody finishes hearing you and he's gingered or fired up to go and acquire wealth, you have misled somebody. One pastor I heard of recently was telling people that God only respects people that have money. That Satan is not afraid of your prayer. He's afraid of your money. I keep on saying, don't believe those lies. These boys don't read the Bible. No, these boys don't read this thing. There's a difference between having a microphone and reading your scriptures. Because if you read your Bible, you will have known that nobody has more money than the devil. He doesn't need your money. He offers you money. He offers. Bow to me, I give you everything. And if you can offer Jesus Christ, who are you? So calm down. Anybody, pastor, who listens to you should love God more, should be more, listen to this, more self-sacrificing than before he heard you. Should go out to succeed in the ministry that God gave to him or her. Nobody should listen to you and go and pursue money. They should go and pursue righteousness. They should go and pursue justice. They should go and pursue faith and holiness. That's what they should go out to pursue. If God wants them to have money, he will add it. But they cannot go out pursuing money. I had one story yesterday. The man of God had told me, he said, listen, they are saying, he described somebody who was going for a powerful position in Nigeria. He had gotten it. He had gotten this position. That is like, you are giving this guy. But just one last thing, they told him to go and take an oath. And he said, I won't. And they denied him. He said, no, I will not do it. He told them, I won't do it. And they said, you won't get it. He said, fine. And they did not give him. And the powerful position eluded him. He watched it go away. This world is not your home. Don't forget it. This world is not your home. It's not. There's nothing on this earth you will take away. I told you, it's your faith you will take away. The story that Jesus told is a real story. There was a poor guy called Lazarus. And there was a rich man who was far richer than that Lazarus. That one went to hell. One went to Abraham's bosom. Don't forget that thing. Pastors have turned this as if he did not know his right. Maybe. But you can be poor and go to heaven and live eternally with the Lord. And you can be rich and die and go into Hades and from there to eternal lake of fire. Let's not forget. Let's not forget it. So if you're a preacher, preach the truth. Having enough money is good. I thank God for it. God supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. It's not the first thing. Righteousness, holiness, faith is still more important, more precious. It's still more important. It is a lie that the devil is afraid of your money. He is not. He will give you money if you want it. When I hear gist of how some people in Nigeria spend money, you look at it, is this the same money people are working for? See, the day I stopped pursuing money, you know why I stopped? Well, I never really started. I was too young to start. I learned this in later after NYSC. You know why I stopped? Well, like, whatever little one I tried to do when I was a youth corporate, God said, if I catch you on this journey again, I will so beat you, you won't like yourself. So I stopped that one. After NYC, I couldn't do anything like that. I mean, you couldn't righteously do anything. Just do your work, which was what I did. Then now, after NYC, first, let me show you why you shouldn't run after money. You know how we did it? You just placed me in the middle of those who were spending it. The Bible says you run against men, they tired you out. What will you do when it's horses? I saw that running, looking for money, was running against men. You wear out. That those who really have it, they are riding horses. That was when I told you too many times. My friend, I had a friend who went to get, my mate, doctors, is to work 8 to 2, 2 to 8, then 8 to 8. I'm not exaggerating. It was a routine thing that young boys did in Lagos. You cover clinic A, 8 a.m. to 2 or 3 p.m. Then hospital number B, you cover from 2 to 8. Then number 3, you went from 8 to 8. Yeah, you hardly had time to jump from one to the other. So your only opportunity for resting is hoping that the other hospital will not have a patient that night so that you can sit in your doctor's room and just sleep. And then start your punishment the next day. Because it's nothing but punishment. God is looking at me. So I had a friend who did it because I went to buy a Honda Quintet. I remember the car, Honda Quintet. In case you don't know, that's the tiniest thing that Honda ever made that's not a bicycle. That's not a motorcycle. Honda Quintet. Those kind of things, like if luxury bus overtakes you on the road, you enter the bush. I don't care how good they drive. There are some cars you drive, please don't go to the expresso. Because when luxury bus goes, fume, he is moving you off the road. Look, nothing personal. That's what the Honda Quintet is. Tiny thing like this. Those kind of things that I used to laugh at them. That if you blow, that the smell of fuel. They drive for 20 kilometers. Just fumes. Fuel fumes. 20 kilometers. Tiny thing. My guy was working 3 jobs a day to buy one. How did God kill me? God just carried me into the midst of this hard money. People bought a pair of shoes and a bag to match for $400. Yeah. No more. Those who wore $1,000 suits. Yeah. I was with them. When I started, it was 6,000. They wore shoes of 50,000. The doctor worked for 10 months to pay for one pair of shoes. That's what they wore. Not they told me, I tested the shoes. I wanted to see whether maybe this one will just carry you to heaven. Carry me, they go. Jehovah, carry me. Honestly, you thought it's the issue with. Honestly. Say, with this shoe, you just go home by yourself. That was not the lesson. The lesson was that I saw they didn't walk as hard as we were walking. That's where I'm going. The lesson was that they were not walking. That they were not stealing the money. They were not politicians. They were not kidnappers. They were normal people. I just called it for stress. Okay, stress. Transfer. Pocket. They would just go. One or two meetings, they move something. Okay, order this, sell this, import this, distribute this. After that, I said, Father God, please, if you want, you bless me. If you don't want, don't worry about it. For this money, I will not pursue it. Look, I just said it's not right. It's not fair. I mean, you imagine you are going to Lagos. You now take on a Haile Gebrewel Selassie anointing. You're now running from here to Lagos. 3 days later, they are covering your journey. All right? Dami is not all right. He's trying, doing well. Don't think about it. The newspaper is covering your journey. And you are running. In that interview, how is it being? It's been stressful. People have been helpful. They've been giving me water on the road. There's some people even donate bread. Thank God. We'll soon get to Lagos. Meanwhile, your mate go airport. The plane enter air. Zoo. 45 minutes later, he reach for Lagos. He said, wait, damn it, he has Nijabu. He left. And he left 3 days ago. He had Nijabu. That was how I felt. I said, dear Lord, no, I know they do. It's better, let me just stay where I am. That's how God killed me. It's nothing, that's how, I've told you many times. I actually prayed because I knew I was going to teach the word of God. I knew I was called to be a preacher, all right? I knew. I didn't. It wasn't in doubt. It's when I will start that was the issue. So I told the Lord, I will do whatever it is you say I should do. If you want to give me money, go ahead and give it. But if you don't want to, don't bother. I told him, don't worry. I will still do what you want. The only thing I just say is, please, I wouldn't want to marry because I don't want anybody. See, I've told him anything. I like peace of mind. I like the wife I married. She has never complained that we don't have this. We're supposed to do this. My mates are doing this. No, she's not that type. I like peace of mind. Some women that will be whining for their husband. Better thank God you didn't marry me because I will pack out of the house for you. I'm telling you the truth. I will not come home. I'm just warning you now because he said why now? Because I can't be in the house and what are you? You a bee. Do you know what I do to mosquitoes that whine in my ear? I don't care how poor I am. If you whine in my ear, I won't come home. Some people like to whine. And they whine on stupid things. Ada and her children, they've gone to UK for holiday. That's their problem. Don't I fire them on the way? What's my problem? What's your problem? Sorry. What? If somebody and their children go on holiday, that's my problem. My problem. They're telling me that they went on holiday. But you get my point. Maybe disturbing my soul. My life is of mine though. The way I am, I told you for many years in my life, for long. People say, Pastor Bank, you don't, no, Brother Bank, you don't have a car. I said, no. Why? I can't afford it. All you young guys, you women will be putting under pressure. They could not. I chased a woman once. I'll be honest with you. Pastor Grace uses me to preach to you today. You know why I stopped? She made me lie twice. And what I call lie, It's not what you call a lie. What I call the lie, let me tell you, is simple things like, we're doing something, and I say, this is going to call almost, Banky, you can pay now. And I say, yeah, well, I could. I could not. I couldn't. Now, it's not as if I couldn't. What I meant is, assuming the whole thing was going to cost 10,000 naira, all right? All I earned in the month was 9,000. So, you can say that if you want to argue, within 2 months I should be able to pay. But for me to talk casually, flippantly, as if I could come up with 9,000 naira was a lie. I couldn't. That's a lie I'm telling you, a lie though. Don't think I went and said that my papa be done good. I didn't say that though. This is a lie, just I just told you now, is a lie I lie. The second lie, I will tell you. I just said something like, this Lagos is so stressful, but let me go and use taxi. It's a lie, I was entering bus. I was entering bus. Now, listen, I used to use taxi once in a while. Do you get my point? Yeah, my wife can testify. I used to enter taxi once in a while. But the routine thing was down for more lure. It was the routine thing. If I was going out, going to church, 3 buses, I didn't take... Take taxi from Diaraba to Yanakwaja. You want to die? I couldn't afford that one. Taxi from Yanakwaja, from Diaraba to Yanakwaja. So, to go to Yanakwaja, I used to trek to Mushi. From Mushi, I take a bus to, what's the name of that? Oshodi. Oshodi, I take a bus to Yanakwaja. Yanakwaja, I take another bus to church. 3 buses. The last portion is trekking. That's how I used to go and come. So, when I told you I lied, the lie I just lied was just this issue of, just talk about that. I know I use a taxi. Taxi call, taxi ni. That's what I call lie. So, for many people listening, they say, is that a lie? You don't understand the kind of integrity God gave me. You don't understand it. When I first met my wife, she said, I talk too much. You know what she meant? I described where I was living in Lagos. I used style to tell how much my monthly salary was. It wasn't hard. This girl wore wrapper. And you know what I mean? Buba and wrapper. I did calculation for her that I couldn't pay for it with the whole month salary. I came for the sent for the meaning. They said, sister, for my wedding, she came to sing, my first desire is to be used. Now, the dress, I didn't look. I said, yeah. This girl wants to kill somebody. Look, you know, I can show you the picture. We still have it. It was blue. With white, these things are the edges. Because there's a reason why my auntie, who I lived with for a period, she was into big things. So I could identify, from her I learned those things. Now look, see. You wear this kind of thing. Say you just wear it casually. These are things you wear when the president dies. You just wear and come, ordinarily sent forth in a university. What about when the chief of your village dies? What will you wear? You know me. I asked her. You didn't wear this kind of thing. Her mother gave it to her. I said, okay. I said, I can't afford this kind of thing. No, I didn't want trouble. See, I wanted you to know that this guy. Some of you want to go and visit a woman, you go and borrow a car. I won't say more than that for you. If you borrow the car, let her know. So I said, your car, no, I borrowed it. Quickly introduce the car. This is Emeka's car, but I told him we'll be back before 8 p.m. So let's hurry. Emeka is waiting for his car. Then it's okay. But do not be driving anyhow. Just emote me. They collect your motor. Yeah, because it's not yours. So that when they remove it, make a go call. Yeah, Steve, where's my motor? You now move away from where the girl is. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. No, me, that's what I call lying. You know? When I caught myself doing that, something like that twice, I said, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. This is not the place of your rest. Oh, how do we get into that? So me, I didn't like stress. So I know where I went to this. I was not telling preachers to preach the gospel. Don't motivate people wrongly. I was telling the story of Jim Baker. Yeah. What happened to Jim Baker was that he was no longer preaching the gospel. He was doing shows for Jesus. He was doing Christian show for the Lord. He was running television programs for Jesus, but he wasn't preaching the truth. So the good Lord took him and put him in prison. And they sent him to 30-something years imprisonment. And God left him there. A few years, look, he made up his mind, my life is over. He said, and they had this saying in prison, you ain't got nothing coming. You know, American slang. What is that? Don't expect anything. You're going to be here. So they changed the lawyers, went to appeal. They told him in prison, you ain't got nothing coming. And he too ain't got nothing coming. He didn't think about it. After the first few months of sulking or feeling bad, the next few months, the Holy Spirit got across to him. He began to, you know, examine his own preaching. He said, this is not the gospel. This is not the gospel. This was not the gospel. I wasn't preaching right. The people that rose up against him, Jessica Hahn and all those people, he forgave them. Maximum Bob, the judge that sentenced him, he forgave him. And a sign of forgiveness for him was pray for them. So he began to pray for them. His friend took his wife. He prayed for him. Yeah. His friend took his wife and married her. Ah, you never go to prison before. That's real prison. That is real prison. He watched, see, his wife used to come and see him. And he, now that was his contractor. Initially, he was just escorting the woman. Then he was watching them. Say, this escort is getting too escorty. Then one day the woman came, announced that she was getting a divorce. And then she married the guy. A few years down the line, God removed her with colon cancer. The guy who introduced Jessica Hahn to him, God removed him with meningitis. I don't like to say devil. That one fell sick. They took him to hospital. Meningitis. He died. I was supposed to be a preacher. So I know what I'm telling you. The man, look, he went through all that hassle, and God said, "Good, you're done. I'll let you go." That's what I'm talking about. God can release anybody from anywhere. They woke up one day. And he heard the prisoners talking. What is it? He said, you mean he actually won the appeal? They were shocked. They called him. What happened? They told him that, come on, your lawyer just, the news was in the prison, that you won the appeal. Your sentence has been knocked out. They had ordered him to be resentenced. Remove the case from Maximum Bob and give to another judge. From 35 or 36 years imprisonment, the other judge gave him 5 or 6. By that time, he has served a lot of it. Stayed a few more months in prison, and he was out. Yeah. A few more months was all he had to add to his stay in prison. And he was out of prison. When I say God can remove anybody from anywhere, believe it. He does. He does. I started this by saying the same thing we said the other time. God wants Christians to learn to pray. He wants Christians to learn to pray. All the challenges in your life, they are meant to ignite faith for prayer. That's why I said
follow our podcast on teach us how to pray. All right? Teach us to pray. What I'm saying is that when I say pray, there are different kinds of prayer. Most of us think that prayer is just making requests. That's just one type. Praising God is praying. But one that just came to my mind to emphasize, consecrating yourself to God is praying. So the challenges, all of them, whatever method, the form they come in, they bring you to one kind of prayer or the other. No, see, they have to bring, and that's what God is looking out for. He's not interested in what human beings think. God is looking for who to make rich, who to build a big house for. No, that's not his competition. You can give anybody a house, don't worry about it. You can give anybody anything. You can give you the judge. You can, if you say, look, it's plane you want, say, go to the airport, I packed one there for you. It's not a problem at all. But he said, but you won't take this thing away. In the next few years, you'll abandon all these things. What faith, what hope, what righteousness, what holiness is being built in your life? That's why I keep on saying, parents, don't let God get angry with you. The primary job you have for these children is to teach them faith. Not to give them a good international education. It's to teach them faith. Teach them how to have faith in God. How to be faithful with human beings. How to walk in love. How to be kind. How to be generous. How not to worry. How to be just. That's the primary thing. They get a degree, it's just another thing. Because degree or no degree, they can become anything. But they will never become what God created them to be if this first set of things I mentioned now are not in their lives. So before you start tossing children up and down, looking for where schools are best, that should be secondary to where the word of God is available. That should be secondary to where they can go to church and learn faith. If every time your children, all they are doing is knocking their head to burn a board, you have a personal problem. Sit them down. This is not the kind of music you should be feasting on. You teach them how to listen to sound music. It's important. This is what faith is. See, small aside again. Look, the children God gave you, they are an assignment from Him that you must fulfill. You must perform the assignment. You teach the children how not to lie. Teach them how not to cheat. My daughter just made me say something to me. I said, yeah, you're not going to school today. He said, I'll go, but I may not go. He said, what about attendance? I said, oh, no, I'll tell my friend to write my name for me. I said, never do that. I said, you can't do that. Nobody writes your name in a class you did not attend. Say yes, daddy. She didn't think much of it. So, you know, they just do things. So they don't even think it's bad. Just to have your name. She just said it to me. And maybe if I can't make it on time, I'll call my friend to write my name. I said, do not do that. Any class you do not attend, your name will not show up on the attendance register. And she answered me, yes, daddy. So that day she was sick, really sick. Shivering sick. You're going to school? He said, yes. Why? He said, I have practicals. Why don't you rest? He said, the attendance matters. He said, they count the attendance. It affects your final score. I said, okay. In that case, you have to go. The favor the mother just did, okay, I will drive you to school myself. He said, we're going by public transport. Enter the car, let me go and drop you there. That's what God expects from you. Teach them what is right to do. Set the good example. Do you think I like stopping at some of those red traffic lights? Sometimes I get there. Now the children where I carry be the problem. They can't see daddy blowing past. I normally don't, okay? But even on top of that, they should see how I stand. When people boss, private car, government, which is the worst thing. Government officials, everybody beat the traffic light. You see their dad stay there all alone. And the light turns green. Then I move.
At least if they do the opposite tomorrow, it's not me that taught them. That is what you see. All these children, if they get international degree, they will not be anything more than who those who don't have it. After all, most of the people they will beg for jobs from don't have it. I keep on asking Nigerians, what degree does Dangote have? You don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't have, but you don't know. You'd be like, you can abuse the president from now to tomorrow. He's your president. You not say, what degree does he have? Is Chicago this thing? You're gonna be, you know, when people say that, you'll be laughing at them. I said, you just show that you don't believe in God. He sets upon the kingdoms of men the lowliest of them. I said, Buhari, he doesn't have a secondary school certificate. 8 years he was your president. What are you? Even your house, you're not a guy. Your wife is busting you up and down. Your caretaker, if you park wrong, come and move your car. You can't even in your compound. You're not the boss. Meanwhile, you have a master's degree. And you're about to finish your PhD. The man you are abusing that doesn't have secondary school. Head of state, 8 years. Head of state, 8 years. Say, Baba Gosunda, he's still alive. You see, if you want your children to be blessed in life, rub these knees on the ground for them. Just wake up one night. Kneel down there. And repeat it 100 times. Father, bless my children. Father, bless my children. In the name of Jesus, bless my children. One day we're going to talk about Jabez again. Just go to the scriptures and see people who prayed simply. We'll talk about Hannah. We'll talk about Jabez. We'll talk about Hezekiah. We'll look at Jehoshaphat. How they prayed. How David just said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And God turned everything upside down for David. He just heard that Ahithophel had joined the conspirators. And he said, things are rough. Because Ahithophel was so wise, David knew what it meant. Turned his counsel to foolishness. The man was so wise, when Absalom did not listen, he committed suicide. Because he knew, if you don't listen to me, this rebellion is over. And when they did not listen to him, because Absalom was hearing foolishness in sound counsel, Ahithophel said, man, these boys are dead. He went home and hung himself. But what we're talking about is how David prayed. When you see people that pray, sometimes they don't utter more than one statement. More than one sentence. They just say, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Abraham prayed, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. If you want your children to be blessed, that's what you need to do. Rub these knees on the ground and wake up at night. Say, Lord, bless my son. Make him great. Let him fulfill his destiny. Help him to stand on his own as a man in this society. Give him a good wife. Give him wisdom. Send men to help him. Let strangers build his walls. I mean, what do you want from the kids, for the children? Is that not what you want? Say it simply. Don't do the one you finish praying, you feel righteous. All your muscles are aching. And you now feel like the devil is in trouble. He's not in trouble. You are the one in trouble. You are tired for nothing. I know what I'm telling you. Look, I know what I'm telling you. Because I see Christians in there, they are praying sometimes. They just say, we just sweat. You're just sweating. Sweating anyhow. Sweating. Like Homer, heat map all over the place. This man just knelt down and said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And the Lord heard. Lord, help me. Let me not get into trouble. Take pain away from me. Enlarge my coasts. Prosper my business. Because he was more honorable than his brothers, Jabez was heard. I hope you are getting my point. Call God the name he bears. Like I told you, he said, the earth is the Lord's. See, if you recognize, my father, faith will be enlarged in your heart. See, this prosperity people are looking for. If you want it, ask for it. And it's simple. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord, it's yours. You can give me. Lord, I have things to do with it. Give it to me. You know what God said to David? What God said to David? He said, I gave you Israel, my people. I gave you the house of your master, that's Saul. He counted the things he did for him. And what's the next line? If this was not enough, I would have given you more. You know, that thing hits me. He said, if you are all in there to tell me that it's not enough, I would have given you more. Why are you now stealing the wife of one of your servants? Is it paying God though? He said, David, what is it? So I had concubines. If you wanted them, I give them to you. It's a very funny thing. Their own life was very fun. You get my point? If you wanted more wives, of course I will give them to you. I mean, you've already married 7. Nobody died. They just married another 70. For him. You get my point? 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let me go to verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. You know the story, all right? You are the man who took a lamb that belonged to a poor man. Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Did you notice that? All you needed to say was that, Lord, it's not enough. I would have given you. Now, it's the recognition I'm talking about. Just knowing that it is the Lord that gives it. He said, I would have given. Be honest with you. There are times I look. Some people say they want houses. I said, Lord, I don't want many. Yeah, I asked him that. I said, look, Lord, if you want to give me another house, wait for this time. This is what I want to use it for. But just ask him. No. You know, God has given me one understanding now. Eh? If you have anything as an offer to me that helps me lay up wealth, I must reject it. It's not whether it works or it doesn't work. He has made it clear. Panky, you are not to lay up treasure on the earth. You know, there are things God will tell you in an office you shouldn't do. He told the kings of Israel, you are not to multiply wives. You are not to multiply landed property. They all broke the rule. But let's remember the rule was there. The rule was there. There are prayers people pray for money. Eh? I can't pray it. Actually, I've told God, don't do this one for me. What's my reason? I said, Lord, it will obstruct my ministry. I said, Lord, this will obstruct my ministry. I don't want it. There are things that people are fighting for, they're running for, they are praying about it, and it's good, they are not bad. And you look, I said, no. So there are things I've asked the Lord for. If you hear some of them, be like, Oga, is that not huge? If you are talking money, it will cost in today's naira nothing less than 10 billion naira to do. But I asked the Lord for it. It's not food. It's not something you want to eat. No, it has nothing to do with it. Why do you ask? Because I want it done. And I've discovered that if you ask, he will do. That's what I've discovered. See, if I want my children to go and live abroad, it's not a problem. I will ask God for it. But there are things I don't ask the Lord for because I know I need to explain what the issue is. For example, when I say, Lord, please locate my children abroad, you say, why? I say, because Nigeria is not safe. He says, so why are you doing your ministry there? Did I not command you to bring safety into the environment? What intercessions have you made for safety, for prosperity? What prayers, supplications have you offered? Lord, I pray. So what faith have you added to that? So you have to make up your mind. I cancel all your prayers because of unbelief. And I grant this one, or I sustain your prayers because of faith, and you take this request off my table. I've learned to pray, I've now, because I know God answers prayer. So I've learned not to bother him. See, if you ask for money you don't need, you're asking him, God, to help you make an image, a graven image. Because you will tell him, Lord, I need my account to have like 200 million naira. And he says, why? You want a car now? Not really. You want to build another house? You say, not really. So he says, why? What is it for? The way this country is going, you yourself, as you begin to say it, you know you're talking nonsense. You just be looking at you, but like, I just imagine God saying, are you listening to yourself? Say, Lord, let's be honest. I'm not listening to this prayer point. So my friend, Kata Shauri, that's Hausa. Which means what? You speak Hausa too? Because your beard looks like you do. Why are you not opening your mouth to interpret tongues you don't understand? The spirit come upon you. But you speak Hausa. You stay in Abuja for nothing. Anyway, just means get us from there. You don't know, but that's what it means. All right? So the Lord will just look at this. My friend, will you leave that place? You're just asking for nonsense things. If you needed something, ask me. I will give you. That's what I mean by recognition. We talked about it last time. Just knowing that indeed the earth is the Lord. See, there is nothing he can't do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That means, have you noticed something? We have not preached our message on resurrection. Oh, but I hope you are blessed anyway. Yes. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. I don't even know how we got into that, but at least I believe we answered some people's questions. Yeah, let's go back to the issue of resurrection. I don't want to take too much time, please. So maybe I'll just say something in a few minutes. And if it pleases the Lord, we'll come back to it next time. But if not, we'll go back to what we're teaching on servants of God. Now, Peter explained to us that it was impossible for death to hold him under his dominion. I was saying something at the beginning. So when Adam sinned, death was introduced, and it seemed temporarily that the calamity had happened. The resurrection of Jesus put an end. Actually, what God did was to kill that calamity. Do you get my point? Yeah, he killed it. He killed disobedience on that cross. It was not just one person that died. In Christ, what did the Bible say? All died. In Christ, all died. I pray we understand the meaning of the word Christ. It is a prayer you need to pray for yourself. That Father God, help me to understand the significance of Christ. The coming, because there's a difference between Jesus and Christ now. I'm talking about Christ. Jesus was the body that he bore on the earth. But the work he was doing is a Christ work. The Messiah work. The Jews, and very common to human beings, misinterpreted and assumed that the Christ was only their own. So they thought he would come and restore the kingdom back to Israel. They expected a David, because when David was king, there was an empire, all right, that was formed under David. Not only was Israel strong, the nations around were subject to him, or at least they were friendly with him. That's how powerful David was. So Israel was looking forward to a Messiah that will restore the glory as of the time of David. And they held on to scriptures without understanding them, like rebuilding the tabernacle of David. They looked forward to another David coming back to be like the first David. Where they made a mistake, until now many Christians are making the mistake with them, is to think that, now listen to this. They are special people in God's eternal purpose. Many Christians are still making that mistake. You say, are you saying they were not? Listen, they had the special role in God's eternal purpose. That's the better way to express it. Because they behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of Israel. Was that what he said? Was that what John said? What did he say? The whole world. It was for everybody. And in Christ, which is why Paul is a problem, is a problem to the Jews till today. Because in his preaching, Paul broke down the barrier of partitioning. And he made it clear that every promise is applicable both to Jews and to Gentiles. And even for the Jews, the promises are only valid if they are in Christ. And when they get into Christ, they find everybody there. Do you understand my point? So God told our fathers this. God said, I can't fulfill it anywhere else but in Christ. They come into Christ, they find the Gentiles there. The Philistines are there. The Arameans are there. The descendants of Ham, they are there. Everybody say, what am I doing here? That was why Peter, at a point in time, tried to remove his hand when he was fellowshipping with the Gentile Christians. And Paul said, my friend, will you stop that nonsense? Paul had to rebuke him. So the Messiah was never supposed to be for Israel. It was meant to be for the whole world. Everybody was to believe in him and be liberated from their bondage. Israel physically was in bondage to the Romans at that time. They had been in bondage to different persons, all right? Northern Israel went under the Assyrians. Then after that, southern Israel, that's Judah, went with the Babylonians. And they had been in one captivity or the other. And God preserved a remnant amongst them for the purpose of bringing forth the eternal purpose, which was Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ Jesus, the new creation was born. It's so important we understand it. The aim of the first creation was to lead to the new creation. We jumped our train of thought when I was mentioning the fact that the commandment was good for them. But even if they did not break the commandment of not eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they still had to mature to eat of the tree of life. That was still necessary. The fact that they were driven out does not mean the purpose for the tree of life has been wiped out. The tree of life is still available now. And Jesus is that tree of life. I hope you're getting my point. That's why he said with confidence, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood that you may have what? Life in you. It's still available. Now, you must bear in mind what Christ means. Christ is the deliverance for everybody on the earth. Christ is not the deliverance for Israel alone. Israel was supposed to bring forth Christ as the mother that gave birth to that son. You saw in Revelation. Is that okay? They gave birth to the Christ, but it's the Christ of God. Do you get it? This is the Christ that God has for the whole earth. Everybody cried for deliverance. Every nation cried for deliverance. Those who were not in bondage to the Romans were in bondage to something else. Even the Romans themselves were in bondage, of course, everybody to sin. Do you follow? And everywhere in the world, there were prophecies about the coming of Jesus. No, let me withdraw the word Jesus. About the coming of the Lord Christ. Everywhere in the world. Look, I have a book, The Spirit of Mindoro. Yeah, that's the name of the book, The Spirit of Mindoro. The story of missionaries that went somewhere in South America. And according to them, they met a people prepared by God. Because they are prophets, they are priests of old. I told them about the coming of these missionaries who will bring the liberation that's in Christ to them. So the people were surprised that these guys were waiting for the gospel. They didn't have to persuade them. They just needed to know this is the gospel. Even in Nigeria, we heard of the Egba people in Ogun State. Before the missionaries arrived, the Ifa priests, during their divination, the angel of God came and told them that God was sending them messengers. And they went and told their Oba that, look, the God said we are to expect messengers that he's sending. And when those ones came, they were surprised. They were welcome. What is the message? I told the story I heard from watching Ishaya Udu on TV. Yes, Ishaya Udu. Southern Kaduna. His father, of course, is from a Christian family. He was a Christian. His father, he said his father, now, it's a bit of a times I heard that story. I don't know whether his father or his grandfather was an Islamic cleric who did a lot of meditation. And one day when he was meditating, an angel appeared to him and told him that the things he's praying about, now this is the answer of God, that he's to take a journey 2 days towards the south and that he's going to meet messengers that God sent. So the man, an Islamic cleric, he took some of his men and began to travel. 2 days, after 2 days, encountered missionaries who were coming from the south. They met somewhere and they found out this is who this person is. This is who this person is. This is who this person is. Say, okay, you are the one that the angel said I should meet. What is the message? And they taught him the gospel. And he went back home and taught that same gospel to all his followers. They did not, see, let me explain. They did not stop being Muslims like that, in quotes. They just discovered what Islam was looking for. Do you follow my point? Yes. So they became Christians, not as I'm switching religion. It's more like I have found what we're looking for. Do you follow the point? Becoming Christians is not for them. Was not, you know, this politics wasn't there at that time. They didn't have problems around. Nobody was persecuting them. People just discovered they had found what people are looking for. I may be wrong what I'm about to say. I may be wrong. But I have a conviction in my heart, all right? That how many people know about Buddha? That if he had met Jesus, he would have become a believer. Because I read the story of his life. You know, he didn't write anything. So all the things they write now in Buddhism, they were not the things that he said. So a lot of corruption would have come into it. But when I read the story about how he became what he is, all right, came from a high caste family in the Hindu caste system. But he forsook everything because he saw suffering. He said there must be more to life than what I'm seeing. Because he's walking on the road. He being a prince, he sees suffering people, sick people, and everything. And he asks, as a young man, he asks his handlers, his guides, his people, what is going on here? Why are people suffering like this? They say, that's how God made it. But I'm not suffering like this. I'm enjoying life. They say, that's how God made it. The man said, no, now, it can't be like this. It can't be like this. So he went on an adventure, meditation, searching. But this was hundreds of years before the time of Jesus Christ. If you know God, anybody who searches for him, he will find him. Yeah, if you search for him in truth, you will find him. You will find him. He will come and meet you anywhere. So the Messiah did not come for the Jews alone. He came for anyone who will seek God anywhere in the world. Because the whole world, see, after the fall of Adam, you didn't need to live for too long to know there's a problem. You knew you were in bondage to forces that you didn't like. And one of the greatest of them was death. Death is annoying. It's painful. You have a good life, death will just come and scatter it. Take a man away from his family all of a sudden. Take a woman away from her children just all of a sudden. People hated death. In fact, like I told you, there's a dirge in Western Nigeria. They say, why don't you just worship death instead of God or the gods? Because when death comes calling, the gods can do nothing. Yeah. That's what they say.
They say, why don't you just worship death? Because he's so powerful. Literally what they say is this. When death is taking people, what are the gods looking at? Where are they watching? Are they saying they didn't notice? So when an important person dies, they sing that song. Like, why don't you just worship death? Because he's so powerful. So powerful that the gods can do nothing when he chooses to take somebody. So people all over the world, they hated death. Everybody knew something was wrong. So they cried for salvation. That's what I'm talking about. They cried for salvation. Literally, they cried for a new creation. The whole of creation groans up till now. Do you get the concept there? But now, what are they groaning for? Waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. So that tells you something. There is a new breed that needs to come on the scene if their groaning will come to an end. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, so, I'm talking about resurrection. When Jesus died, and what he did was that in that first death, now, please, I pray we'll get this. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. All the negative things, the old man, how do I say this? Before I say it, see, spiritual things, they are real. But expanding them or manifesting them in the physical realm can be tricky. It takes time. It expands into time. It expands into depth. It expands different ways. I'm going somewhere here. So all these old things were bundled together and nailed to the cross. Listen, sickness was nailed to the cross. Premature death, not premature, whether it's premature or not premature, or whatever it is, was nailed to the cross. Do you get my point? My favorite. Slavery was nailed to the cross. One of the things that, you see, like I was saying, look, pray that God gives you understanding. One of the reasons why God allowed the caste system in the world, in which some people were more blessed than others, was for the preservation of the human race. Yeah. If you go and read it, Japheth needed safety under the protection of Shem. Yeah, his descendants. That's where they would get safety from. You now looked and said, listen to this. Ham and his descendants, they are so cursed that if Shem and Japheth do not hold them, they will destroy themselves. They will become extinct. So becoming a servant of servants was to preserve them to have offspring. See, I know what I'm saying. Let me give it. Okay, this is a very funny illustration, right? It's a crazy one. Do you know now, a lot of Nigerians and Africans are wishing they are taking their own ancestors as slaves. They would have been born in America. You don't catch that. That's a funny illustration. That if your great-great-grandfather was one of those they took from this North here at that time, and they sold to those guys going to America, by now, you'll have been born in at least maybe in Mississippi or New York or New Jersey. That's what some people are thinking. That's what people are thinking. Like somebody said, if they bring a ship now, a slave ship, will you go? One guy said, I'll go bring my chain self in case they say chain has finished. Now, it sounds crazy. I don't agree with them. But you can see the point I'm trying to make in it. That people are now happy that the descendants of some people that were very unhappy are now living in a particular country. It's spiritual. It's something about it. So I tell you, God, you may think he's angry. No. He's preserving as much as he can. If you had left the people, look. There are jungles in this Africa. When you see human, if I one of our guys does this, or guys, when I was in Lagos, he said the brain of the stackest bushman, that these people in the bush who don't know anything, says the same size as that of a monkey, that's a chimpanzee. I've told you before, you see, when they tell you that human beings used to be hunter-gatherers, it's a lie. Human beings became hunter-gatherers when the life of God was taken away from them. That's what a curse does. You become extinct after some time. So to preserve certain races, God just told Shem and Japheth, take them and hold them. Don't worry, the time of their redemption will come. So that's why it's my favorite. Slavery, that's division between the blessed and the not so blessed and the cursed. Everything was removed. The Bible says, and he nailed it where? To his cross. He nailed it to his cross. And what am I saying to you? When he rose again from the dead, that's where I was going. The new man, the perfect life, was born. Now, because of time, I will stop here. The resurrection of Jesus, the Bible calls him what? The firstborn out of the dead. Some people had died and woken up before. But what was unique about Jesus, I'll tell you. A new race of human beings began that day. See, this earth we are in, ozone layer, depletion, global warming, aging earth, leave that thing. It will disappear one day. And literally, now what I want to say is literal. Literally, God will form a new earth where you, with righteousness, will dwell. Now, when you are praying the gospel, let people know this. Anyone who has not believed in Christ will not make it to that place. Yeah. See, it's not about, is it your own, is it only your God? Let your own God create his own new heaven and new earth. And let him put him there. Put you there. See, it's not about that. Is it only Jesus? See, Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And then I will come back and take you. Let your own Messiah go and prepare his own place. That's what we are saying. Look, don't come and say that you can believe in Buddha. I will believe in Muhammad and come into my own place. You understand? Does it make sense? Create your own. If you say that you are Jesus of Oyinbo, there is no problem. Die. Go somewhere. Even if it's ordinary mass, which Jesus will take away anyway. But that's even as you borrow mass from Jesus. Say, Jesus, I beg, take the rest. Let me just preserve this mass. Don't melt this one with fire. Look, as for that fire, look. All you need to do is learn physics. Learn about physics. You know one simple supernova that's close to us. We swallow everything. No, you know, when you read the Bible, you make it look as if this is esoteric. They are not. Just a simple supernova. God just allows one star to age. It explodes. It will swallow our own sun. Swallow this. Swallow. Let's not talk about the earth. That will have melted even before the star starts exploding. So it's going to melt all of these things away. He will. And then he will create a new heaven and a new earth. So whatever God you are following, let him create his own. There's no fight. What I'm saying is that Jesus said, I will prepare a place for you. Now all the people who participate in his resurrection, which is by faith, they are the ones that are going to follow him into that place. What exactly it looks like, we are not sure. But we have descriptions in the book of Revelation. Why I say we are not sure, that is just describing for us what we have never seen, using that which we have seen. So what's the resurrection? A sign that indeed God has done a new thing and he has done it well. That's what it is. Let me add this on to this as we leave. It's what they call the power of his resurrection. This is what it is. How many of you know physics here? When they tell you, you learn in the physics tech, you were running that time. They don't catch you now, eh? You see, the thing don't catch up with you. When you're in school, whatever they are teaching you, try and learn. All right? If you're in physics, all right, if I get a call, all right, let me borrow this and do it like this. All right? You know what a coil is. And this is a magnet. And I pass it through, in and out. What happens? Electricity is induced. Thank you. Those of you who bother to pay attention, you know it. Ijoma is lost. She's lost because it's not grammar. What am I saying? The moment Jesus rose up from the dead, that movement ignited a force into our atmosphere, which is the reason why the sick can be healed. Paul called it the power of resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, that movement. Peter had to say, it became impossible for death to hold him in his power. Look, there's a foretaste of everything. One of the things God does is that he looks. Say, is there a sick body here? Technically dead. I can heal it. Do you understand my point? That there's no condition that in which somebody has given up, that the power of resurrection, if he touches it, it will not come back alive. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks for resurrection. Say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Just give the Lord thanks for resurrection. Give him thanks for resurrection. Give him thanks. So, Lord, we thank you for resurrection. Say, Lord, we thank you for resurrection. Say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the hope that comes with it. You see, there's hope. There's hope. Hope. Say, Lord, I thank you for the hope that comes with the resurrection. Say, Lord, I thank you for the hope that comes with the resurrection. We give you praise, Lord.